Hey y'all, welcome back to the Patriots Helping Patriots Network. I'm your host, Just Jody, and I am super excited to bring you guys my next guest. That's right, Mr. Casper McLeod is here. That's right, Pastor Casper McLeod, actually. I cannot wait to get to know him more. Casper McLeod Band has been helping to draw people closer to the Lord Jesus for quite some time now. And he's really been calling attention to the prophetic timelines that we are now living in. So he's totally here to accentuate our walk with Christ. And I am so excited to get you guys to learn a little more about him and his music today, because I have been enamored since I've been introduced to what he actually does. So let's bring him in here right now, and you guys can get to meet Pastor Casper McLeod. And I'm a little all over the map, so let's just start with that today. It's been a rough morning. Sorry, y'all. Good morning. How are you?
Delighted to be here with you, Jody.
Oh, delighted to have you. So let's talk about your walk with Christ and how you got where you're at right now, because this is what everybody needs in their life, like your music. I'm not kidding you.
Absolutely. You know, drawing close to the Lord, he'll draw much closer to you. So it's been a really long, winding road and quite a journey. In fact, I never actually meant to be a paperback writer either, but God had different plans.
I never meant to be a broadcaster or a network holder, and God had plans.
Yeah, that's the way it works. So, I guess it was the 70s, I'd come across the Shroud of Turin, and I was really fascinated with this, and it really, you know, helped focus me on what was unfolding here before us. And then a musician friend named Phil Keggy that started sharing the gospel with me, and one thing led to another. I got saved. It was like really radical. I mean, it was just like, you know, day and night. I've never been the same since. Years later, I wrote two books on the Shroud of Turin. The second book, well, the first one went to number one on Amazon straight away. I wrote with friends in England. And then the second one, I did an interview that turned into the book with my, I'm a staff writer with Ali Marzulli's magazine, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Wow. Done lots of you know, things with him over the years, and one thing I learned from him is, you know, you can't just research from a computer. You actually have to go on location and things like that. But my editor was actually one of the original scientists on the Shroud team.
Wow, this is incredible.
Well, I would say that, you know, a lot of times people go, well, you know, it's just some Catholic relic. No, it's the most analyzed artifact in the world. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, it's like a receipt. Like when you buy something, you get a receipt. I mean, if it's like, you know, building or house, airplane, you're going to get a, you know, put it in a place of importance, and maybe you bring it out once in a while for whatever reason to look at, right?
Yeah.
But this is like
Shroud. A Shroud. I just can't get over the Shroud. I'm just
it's
getting it together here. Like, I've seen, not in person, but I've done a research on the Shroud too, right?
Yeah.
So I just stare at this and I'm like, wow, like imagine that this is, you know, the cover. I feel like the comforting blanket, you know, that covers the child. And I, when I see the Shroud and I think of these things with Christ, I'm like, can you imagine? This is the cloth that's still in existence, you know? Wow.
It's extraordinary. You know, people will say, oh, I come across like, you know, atheists and believers, and that's a good place to start. I was riding my horse a couple of years ago, and I was working on a sermon on a Saturday morning, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, you know, get on yours and ride down to the lake. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, you can tell how much work I've got left to do this afternoon. I really don't have time. Maybe the second time I said, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. So I got on my horse, rode down to the lake. I would have missed it if I hadn't, you know, obeyed. And these two women were walking towards me. And my horse, Mr. Bob's kind of like a chick magnet. Everybody wants to, can we pet the horse, right? He's really people friendly. And we're talking some, you know, basically giving them the Sermon on the Mount. And that's British humor. You'll laugh tomorrow. So one of the ladies goes, but I'm Jewish. And I went, well, hallelujah. So is the Lord. And anyways, I'd just written the one of the Shroud books. So I ended up, you know, giving it to a letter in the Salvation.
Oh, my.
So the other lady called me up and she said, you don't realize what just happened. She goes, I've been trying to lead my friend into salvation for, you know, a couple of decades, and her husband died and they're moving away. She's moving to live with the kids today. And this is my last chance. I was on my knees praying this morning, Lord, don't let her leave without getting saved. And then you show up on a horse.
Wow. Where inside of you did it occur to you you were God's person? Was it following your baptism, or was that through your music prior to entering your walk with the Holy?
I was on a, you know, major label. I actually started recording back in England. If you remember 10cc, they had a studio called Strawberry in Manchester, where I made my first 45s, which is now a collector's item. Of course,
I would love one of those.
Yeah, I don't see anything from it, but
it's so cool to have, though, right? Like, when you think about it, they're always going to play. And then this digital stuff, we don't know if it's always going to be around. Like, you got to back everything up. And, like, I have someone who actually puts everything on cassettes still.
Really?
Not CDs, cassettes. They record the CDs or the digital stuff, and then they play a record button on a cassette to save their stuff. I think they're, you know, considering stuff they never want to lose if something happened in the digital world.
Well, you know, I think it's all being recorded. The most important part is knowing that everything we think, say, and do, the Lord is recording. So, you know, forget about the CIA and NSA and Her Majesty's Secret Service, you know, listening in right now and all the rest of it. All that really matters is what God thinks. So,
amen.
Going back to the Shroud for a moment, I should add that I had a physician friend. I actually quit med school my first day. I walked in the cadaver class. I could still smell the hermaldehyde. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really don't want to do this. I'm only here because my girlfriend's an intern and from New Zealand, kind of pushing me into this thing. And I'm like, I just want to play with, you know, in a rock and roll band. So I just told the professor, I'm sorry, can't do it. Gonna go play in a band. So I did that. But now I'm surrounded by all these amazing, erudite researchers, you know, physicians. And one of my physician friends challenged me in like 2001, said if scientists could ever prove the DNA samples, you know, in the Shroud, you know, the Behrens genes, then that would settle the Shroud debate.
Wow.
Well, that's actually been done. I wrote about it in Spiritual Encounters with the Shroud, the interview I did with L.A. Marzulli. So, you know, thinking about it, if the gospel accounts of the virgin birth are indeed true, that would mean then the Lord Jesus' DNA wouldn't have a Y chromosome because he didn't have a human father after all, right? So instead he'd have two X chromosomes. Mm-hmm. So scientists were able to take the, confirm that by taking the DNA samples from the Sudarium Olivier, which is the handkerchief that they covered his face with. There's no image on that, but the blood stains match exactly, precisely with the Shroud covering. And so they were able to get the DNA samples from both. And keeping in mind that since the Lord Jesus was born fully male, that would mean he also would have a SRY gene. However, the researchers found that the SRY gene, instead of being in the Y chromosome, it was inserted in a location they normally wouldn't have, you know, discovered, but they did. Inside the two X chromosomes imparted from the Virgin Mary. So there was this team of Italian researchers in 1995, I think it was, they basically developed the standard DNA test for gender, and they were able to conduct a DNA analysis of the blood in the shroud. I mean, it's all in my book, but
I am going to be purchasing your book immediately.
So the thing is that, you know, the X chromosome is present, but there's no evidence of the Y chromosome. Well, that's exactly what you'd expect in a signature virgin birth. So that makes me really, really happy to share with, and when we have people come along and say, well, it's a medieval, you know, forgery. No, well, then look at that, the evidence here, because it's not a medieval forgery. In the first book I wrote, we showed that it was in two fires. And so the nuns in the Middle Ages sewed on some backing, you know, and that's the thing they sampled. Of course, I would say, you know, it was medieval because that's the part they took. But the rest of it's, you know, 2,000 years old. And so, I mean, unless there was another guy that was, you know, born of a virgin and you know, was crucified wearing a crown of thorns and pierced in his hands and side, nails through the, you know, destined point, which is where they would crucify. They were experts at crucifixion, the Romans, right? So it's not like artists. As an artist, I have to say this, you know, that my profession has not done a service to this, because they would have all these paintings with the nails through the palm. That's not where it went. It went through Destin's point here, which would have caused excruciating pain, and called the medium nerve to make the thumbs, you know, go behind, which is exactly what you see, why there's no thumbs on the on the child image. So anyways, I think the evidence speaks for itself. And if you understand the significance of the, you know, Passover, the resurrection, then you would understand what the Lord has done for you, this incredible gift. And you think about it, I was the only Christian artist asked to play at the 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
And, my goodness, tell us. I'm so excited to hear.
And so I hadn't really played in a secular environment for a really long time since, you know, I left Atlantic Records and all. And so when actually it was L.A. Mozzuli, it called me the night before and said, whatever you do, don't speak Christianese to that audience. You know, it's a secular audience. So they asked me to preach on Sunday morning. And so after I got done, I was the only artist to play twice as well at this event. So I finished playing. I handed my guitar off to stage manager and turned around and started sharing the word. And I started talking about string theory and quantum physics. And I'm sure the audience is going, what kind of pastor is it? What's going on here? This is not what I expected.
Oh, I would have been like, tell me more.
So I started telling them the story of Nicodemus. You know, he was a well-respected man about town, doing all the best things so conservatively. And he comes, sneaks in at night because he doesn't want his mates to know. And he goes, you know, Rabbi Jesus Yeshua, you know, we know that you come from God because you can't possibly do these miracles, you know, except God was with you. And the Lord, you know, obviously he's God incarnate. He's divine. He's God and 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Yeah. He cuts to the chase and straight away to the heart of the matter. And he goes, Nicodemus, you got to get born again. Now, here's this well-educated gentleman. You know, we got a lot of well-educated fools in the world today. But here's a well-educated gentleman. I mean, at least he did, you know, believe in God. And he can't understand, well, how can I do this? I can't be born twice. I can't come out of my mum a second time. And the Lord takes him to. And the wind was blowing really hard across the stage at this point. It's like, thank you, Lord, for all this dramatic effect.
Amen.
You know, the Lord says, you know, you know where the wind comes from. You don't know where it goes. And yet you're the most esteemed, you know, rabbi in all of Israel. So how can I talk to you about quantum physics and string theory at this point?
Wow. I don't know what's happening, but I keep tearing up listening to you speak. It's incredible. Like when we speak of Christ and resurrection, I always seem to cry. I don't know what that's about, but it happens. And as I listen to you speak, it's like you can feel, I think I'm feeling your walk with God or something. It's very unusual to be live right now, tearing up over greatness, but it's happening to me. So I'm feeling your walk with God, and that's incredible, which means you're definitely using music to bring people closer. And then people have been saved during your Christian rock performances.
Yeah, that's happening. People, some healings as well.
Wow.
So, I mean, obviously, I can't do that. We can't save or heal anybody.
Yeah.
I tell people, you know, I couldn't heal a butterfly with a broken wing except God decides to do it through me or you. But we have seen quite a lot of miraculous stuff over the years. And, you know, just I think it's like fingerprints. You know, God's got a variety. You know, he likes variety. You know, just like snowflakes are not the same. Rather than us all trying to do the same thing all the time, it's sad to me how the music industry has changed so much. Now most of it's written by a computer. Mm. And there's like a monopoly game going, you know, it's a, like a formula. And I'm going like, I'm not doing it. We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit in what we do. So I'm really excited about a lot of the, we've done quite a few albums. I think we've done like 8 albums since 2020. Wow.
Look at this. This is amazing. You're working all the time to get that many out. I mean, your creation process. So what happens when you're thinking of your next album, your next song, your next, you know, big performance? What happens to you to create those things? How do you maintain and absorb where you're headed with that frequency? Because we're going to show everybody today what I'm talking about, but how does that unroll for you? I know for me, like as a creator, you know, usually all night long, I am kind of spinning. There's prayer involved, and then it just starts to put itself together. What's your walk like to do that?
You know, like the album, we just came out with 2 albums the last couple of months, about 6 weeks ago. And then I did an instrumental album in the healing frequency with my violinist, Renee Truay. And we just went, did a whole acoustic thing. But basically, we were touring in England last year. And as a favor to one of the promoters, we played it in an elderly facility, you know, people in the last chapter of their life. And there's this wonderful chaplain there from Ireland, a pastor, Andrew. And he asked us if, you know, we'd play like 90 minutes. And I'm thinking like, you know, we're really rockers. And we've got like 90 minutes worth of gentle acoustic music. I mean, we do some, you know, but so I'm looking at Renee going like, we'll just improvise. As Christians, we would say we're flowing in the Holy Spirit. So that's what we did. And it went over really well to the point where Renee looked at me afterwards with my wife and she said, we're going to make an album like that. So,
wow.
So it's just, you know.
You're being spoken to constantly and it comes out in your music creation. This is beautiful. I love your hair. Let's just get this straight. Okay, right now, you have the greatest hair. You have rock hair, and I love it. So I just want to point that out, you guys. Pastor Casper has beautiful hair. So tell me, when you decided as a, you know, a musician, you're moving forth with your spiritual music, and you're saved now. How did you decide to get ordained and become Pastor Casper? Which, by the way, my son is Jasper.
Nice. I didn't actually. It was the Lord's decision. I was quite happy. I made a decision when I left secular music because they were grooming me to, you know, do major stuff. And my producer was the CEO of Atlantic, Omid Erdogan. And I told him that I just wanted to play for the Lord Jesus. And he was like, it's like, he looked like a little ant, but he's like, don't you realize you're throwing your career down the toilet? We were going to make you a big star and all that. I'm going like, it's better to store treasures in heaven. So,
oh, I love you so much. This is fantabulous.
So, I mean, I had some amazing opportunity, you know, back then, but it was just, I just felt this calling to do that. And I was already an artist. I did like pre-Raphaelitic looking artwork, and Harry Belafonte had befriended me. I played on his movie soundtrack, Speed Street, which is amazing. He gave me carte blanche to just play anything I wanted. Which is something they don't normally do.
Oh, wow. But,
he was real impressed with my skill level at the time. So he took me aside and he was very parental with me. And he was like, you know, if you ever need a second career, you already got one. And I'm thinking like, what are you talking about? And then like, you know, a year later, I realized what he was talking about. So I focused on art for a long time, which I really enjoyed doing. And it cut out all the, you know, the crazy stuff in the music business. It was just like, you know, one-on-one kind of thing. But I'd go back to, when I left to just play for the Lord. I made a decision. All I was going to do, I'm not going to play another note except I play it to glorify God, or just going to lay it all down kind of thing. So I ended up starting playing in churches. They asked me to do it. Kind of like, hey, you got this, musician, professional musician thing going on. You need to come play at the church. So I started gearing my songs, writing for that. And then I, come across this stuff like, well, as a pastor, as you mentioned, people go, you can't be a pastor, you've got long hair. And I told them the story that when I first got my driver's license, I was so excited, I ran all the way home. And my mom was pouring a cup of tea, and I said, Mom, I got my driver's license, any chance I can use the car Saturday night? You know what I mean? Not just say no more. And she said something I'll always remember. She said, get a haircut.
That is so classic.
I said, Mom,
get a haircut.
Yeah, like, and I said, Mom, the apostles had long hair. And then she said the second thing I'll always remember. She said, they walked everywhere they went.
Oh, your mom, she's golden. She was golden.
Yeah, so, I shared that story in the church, and somebody shouts it out, but you've been walking ever since. I've got like, actually, I'm an equestrian, so I do get to ride a lot. So.
Oh, wow.
But, it's silly, because the Lord Jesus, his hairstyle was similar.
Yeah, for sure.
But they forget that, they get all religious.
They do.
I figured out that the Lord has me, continuing this way because He sends me out there, and it upsets religious spirits, and it reveals their heart.
I had a little disagreement with some conservatives over long hair on men one time, and I brought forth tribal, right? Great warriors. They did not believe in cutting their hair. That was strength. That was power, right? And a lot of that was spiritually based off of Jesus.
It was, and the I have friends that are chief in the First Nations people, and they were in the army, and they were allowed to keep their long hair.
Yeah, I'll say this. So when I met my husband, this is exclusive here today. I'm letting it out.
Okay.
When I met my husband, I was 26, 27 years old. And I was like, whoa, he had long hair, right? And he had a couple piercings, but he had this beautiful spiritual vibe about him, but totally out of normal character. And I was like, is he like a rocker? Is he a biker? And he, proceeded to say he was a music store owner. And I was like, something isn't right here. Eventually, I find out he was an undercover officer working against drug cartels. Yeah, so that wasn't privy in the beginning, but his hair was so beautiful. And when he goes back to the road many years later, I was like, oh my gosh, like I had never ever seen him without hair, like all this beautiful hair flow and pony. And it was just like the most insane thing, but there was power in that hair. I'll tell you what, he really like had a whole persona about him. I felt spiritually that was strong. And I don't know what it was with the hair, and it took me back to the tribal warrior stage of Indians,
Yeah, when I got ordained, the pastor that ordained me looked at me in front of the congregation and said, no, don't go getting a haircut and putting on a three-piece suit because you're reaching people we can't possibly reach. And I don't think that actually made a lot of sense to me till years later when I did play at the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, because I thought, wow, they all look like me.
That's amazing.
I think I found my tribe. Okay.
So. You did. And that's what I was going to, actually say to you is I can't imagine the audience that wasn't reached before you've stepped into the picture. If you think about that, you got a lot of, rock and roll party goers, all these things that end up finding Christ through people like you. And that's what's most admirable for me to sit here with you today, thinking about how you must get up there and do your thing. And all of a sudden, these people start to feel that walk with God they've never felt before. I know stepping on camera has brought me closer to God than ever before. So, 4 years of this meeting and working with people like you, it's incredible to me Like, these are God's people. Like, I never would have found you guys if I wouldn't have opened my little big mouth, right? My little big mouth, I say.
it was actually amazing to me, because after I shared that at the 50th anniversary show, I didn't know how far they let me go. And I just said, when I got saved, I prayed like this. So I did do a salvation prayer. And afterwards, there was celebrities backstage hugging me and asking me if I would minister to the family members. And people in the audience came up to share with me. And so, yeah, it had quite an impact. And at one point, that was the 17th of August, 2019. And I must have said something about the Gates of Hell Foundation at that point, because somebody had sold their Microsoft stock and sent it to our church, said, we don't want this blood money. And we were like, great, we'll use it to help further the gospel. So I was already, for years I've been trying to expose what's going on, these nefarious plans and the plandemic and all the rest of it. So
that's beautiful. You never, ever fell into any of it. You were just awake knowing it was wrong. It wasn't correct. And that's cool, because I know for me, it took a lot for me to say our government didn't like us, right? Because I was like law and order supportive, all these things. All of a sudden, I'm like, what are they doing? They hate us, like all in one day, and then just learned everything possible that I could learn. And I was just so, I remember not being able to move. I was in such distress and tears and, it was a lot of information. And I didn't have years of it for the people, that did years and years of research prior to that. I mean, mine all flooded in, like God said, here you go, Jody, and I had been a broadcasting student. So I felt like something was coming my way with that again. And that had been left behind over 25 years ago,
I remember in, I guess it was 2020 March, because I was, at the time, I was playing concerts with my friend Tommy James and the Shondells. And I had the church people criticizing, what's a pastor doing playing with a secular rock band? I'm going like, you want me to keep preaching to the choir, or do you want me to get some people saved, right? So back in March 2020, when this I just played with the Shondells somewhere, and then the world shut down with a goose-step, lockstep. And I remember sharing with my church about ID 2020 from Microsoft, where it said something like, as more and more transactions become digital, that are going to be built around this single global identification standard, which is supported by Microsoft, then they have to ask, who gets to govern this global community, the one world government? It's going to become relevant, especially since the non-participants wouldn't be able to buy or sell any goods or services. I'm looking at my church going, open your Bible to Revelation 13. It's happening right now, right in front of you. So think about it. If our world's not on a direct pathway right now to the fulfillment of Revelation 13, nobody's going to buy or sell without, the Gates of Hell Foundation's approval. The only logical alternative is that you'd have to ignore that something with the most uncanny resemblance to the mark of the beast system is unfolding right in front of everybody. And I think that's why we read in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. A lot of people aren't even going to church anymore since the 2020. They think they could just sit home and watch it on the telly, right? It's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, what day is approaching? We're warned to help stay connected with other true believers in the process. Because, we've got all kinds of threats of wars and famines and bioweapons and plagues and diseases, earthquakes. I mean, that's exactly what the Lord says is going to happen right before, his return. And then we got people like, with CERN, opening up dimensional portals.
Is where I was really super concerned when you're reading Revelations, right? And you dive in, I'm like, literally, if people cannot see that this is what we're living, we have to try to save them, at least give them another opportunity to see this, because this is getting horrific, for people that are, I felt, could be left behind,
There's this asteroid, Apophis, which means in Greek unstoppable evil. And it's you know, I mean, the secular guys are, you know, talking about it now as well in science. It's the size of 3 football stadiums. And it's supposed to hit the Earth on the 13th of April, 2029. That's not very far away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when the Lord says, you know, see more clearly the day that's approaching, I think it's really time to get straight with the Lord right now, whatever you're doing, you know.
Amen. Amen. I feel you there. I do need to tell everybody, because we're going to go over and check out your music here in a second, but I want to tell everybody, because I don't really know, how did you get here? Because I know you're here in Georgia, right? And you're originally from Britain?
Yeah, I used to live in Northern England.
Northern England. Oh, wonderful.
There was an agent that convinced my wife that we needed to relocate here.
Was she okay with it?
Yeah, you know, I really like being in the Bible Belt, so it's been good. I do miss UK, but you know, there's just wonderful believers here to be with.
It's amazing. How long have you been here?
I've been back and forth quite a lot over the years, but I've been here for a while.
Oh, wow. Oh, beautiful. I love your accent. I could talk to you all day, but we have to get to your beautiful frequencies. So let's go do a share, if you don't mind. We're gonna check out The Change Is Coming, right? Is that the name?
That's the newest release from the newest album is Immortality. That's a track from Immortality, Change Is Coming. It's the opening tune.
Well, I'm excited because this is a new one, you guys, so I haven't yet seen this. And I'll be sure to sign in, like, and subscribe today. And I hope everyone here does too. And you guys, I will add this channel down below. His website's already there. So please click on that as well and check out our pastor today. Now, let's make it big. And here we go. I'm excited.
We'll be right back.
my gosh. That was amazing. I had to shut myself off. I was too much of a rock star back here. That was beautiful. You even got Yuval Noah Harari in there. That was great. Let's get rid of that evil person.
Yeah, well, it's the evil manifesting. If he's still a fucking human, I just can't discern whether he's the false prophet or the Pope. I mean, they're both auditioning for the role.
They really are. Like, they work together in this, you know? But wow, your music, that frequency. I feel so good right now. I don't know what just happened, you guys. But if you heard that, I know you're probably feeling it too. So let's talk about that frequency. What happens through your music with frequencies? Because I'm a frequency junkie for healing and for mood. Like, I live at a high frequency. I'm high energy. And I keep it there. And I push all the negative forces out of my life to be able to focus. And when I start to feel really like they're coming in, something like this, you won't be able to touch me at that frequency, God's frequency, right?
It is, yeah. The highest frequencies, God's frequencies.
Look at me. I'm so excited.
When you talk about things like, you know, higher frequencies, the new agers get excited, right? So I mean, we intentionally made the album called Higher Frequencies with that in mind, considering how God's ways are so far above our ways, you know. Isaiah 55 and talks about, you know, the heavens are higher than the earth, so his ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways and everything we do. But I think one way to explain it, when I was a kid, I just wanted to be good at everything. So I have a feeling you are and were. Well, I was reading Leonardo da Vinci's Lost Notebooks. I was just fascinated. And he was so profound. And yet sometimes he would say such simplistic things, especially for that medieval Renaissance time. What just an absolute genius. And so I built a crystal radio. And I used to listen to rock and roll at night when, you know, I was supposed to be sleeping and nobody knew, right? Because a little headphone. And you just, you know, solder a bunch of wires and components together. But what I found was that it was really, it had a lot of noise. And you had to dial it in. You had to figure out how to get that station. But once you found it, you could find it again. And so I'm just feeling like, you know, we need to turn off, you know, Radio Devil.
Amen.
And tune into the Holy Spirit frequencies. And, you know, understand that, you know, neurons, I wrote a whole lot of neuronal pathways and epigenetics over the years. My book, What Was I Thinking? I explained to people that I'd done a lot of lectures and conferences and prophecy conferences, and I have the people there, you know, some of the thousands of people go, I want you all to count backwards from 99. And so they all start counting, and I go, now say the ABCs simultaneously. And there's always someone that's going to try to go 99A, 98B. No, you got to put them together. And you can't do it, which is marvelous news, because that means you cannot entertain an ungodly thought and a godly thought at the same time. So when you know, the Bible says, don't go to bed angry, at least the root of bitterness spring up overnight and many be defiled. So what happens is you're dwelling on this, you know, this invisible spirit basically is come, this bitterness spirit comes to merge with your thinking as if it's your thought when it's not your thought. And it emerges with you, and then it secretes an over-secretion of cortisol, which breaks down the T cells and essentially busts up the immune system, which is what, you know, that happens with the spirit of fear, which is why, you know, the Nazis helped invent television in 1933 for the sole purpose of propaganda, programming, right? Tell lies and visions. And we've been stuck with the deal ever since. So they couldn't have never done this whole pandemic unless they keep people in a constant state of fear, because then they're much more compliant.
That is so true. And I remember being like not afraid why people were afraid. It was so weird. Yeah, I was not afraid at all of any of this. I just kept saying, this isn't right. What are you doing? Stop wearing that. It's okay if you sit by me or stand by me. What are you doing 6 feet apart? Get over here, people. Like, I was like not where the norms of the world were when this whole thing broke free. And I really felt that was God with me, right? That was my walk to tell other people And that's where I kind of began. But I want to get back to your horse for a moment. And here's why. I've noticed deeply spiritual people have a huge connection with animals. However, they have this real connection, many of them, with horses.
Mm.
And I noticed my daughter. I grew up always wanting to ride, and it wasn't affordable here for my parents. However, when I became old enough, it became more affordable, and we always did. And my niece, my assistant here, Heidi, like, we always have this thing about a horse too, and we want to ride, and she wants to stop, and we're going to go horseback riding when we're doing the tours and the events and stuff. And sometimes we're trying to work this in, and we miss opportunities. But at the same time, there's something there. I know so many people that are either riders or connected with their horses of farms that they spend time with. They just go to farms to spend time with horses. So do you have any advice on that, or anything that I can kind of say?
That's why there's, you know, therapy animals, you know, dogs and horses and cats, and because it's, you know, alters your chemistry. I've been in equestrian since I was a little boy, and just it's always been important to me to have a horse. And
love the scene in your video of you on the horse. I'm like, look at him, he's so amazing. This is so incredible. I'm super excited that you have run across my path today. I really, really am. It's taken a few weeks to get you here on my part, of course, and I'm sorry about that. But, man, this is fabulous. I'm really looking forward to getting your book, too. I'm going to get on that right away. And we're going to put all these links down below because I know you guys are going to want more of this, too. So here we are. We're going to go over to your website, okay? I just want to show some people a few things if you don't care here. You guys can go on over here. You got the website running below on the ticker. And check this out, okay? So we'll hit the home first right here. Now, this is what the new album is, right?
Right.
Okay, that's, and you can purchase through here.
Right.
Okay, this is beautiful that you don't have to leave the site to do it, you guys. We've had many that you have to leave the site. So you can see there's a buy now. That's getting clicked probably tonight. Live purchases to make. This is beautiful. Look at this. And you have violin. I mean, this is like a love of mine to have a violin in my music. And what a doll. She's amazing.
She's my musical twin. Yeah, we just have such great fun together. And she's one of the most optimistic people I've ever met in my life.
She's great. Look at her just jamming out here. And I love this. We got the Superman going. That is adorable. Look at you. You're kind of like this. I can't imagine. I would be like your biggest parishioner if we were in the same state. I mean, to go to church like this, this is everything. Everything, you know.
You can certainly join us online. A lot of people do. I've been deplatformed several times for speaking too much truth, but I still get like almost every week YouTube sends me, we know you won't agree with this, but we've deleted your sermon because of medical misinformation at the 67th mark second or something. It's just absurd. I'm going, like, I'm standing there with, you know, amazing medical doctors that are, you know, sharing the word with us. And
I was banned from YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took them 7 times to get me completely off of there, which has been a few years now. But yeah, I was asking questions that were already being asked, and it was about the fences at the White House. They did not want anybody knowing what was going on at the White House. And I had exclusive footage from people that were in D.C. filming it, and they just finally said, "Hack, you're done. You can't have this channel anymore," you know. And I was like, you know what, YouTube? We don't need you. God has a better plan, you know. And we went over to Little Rumble, which has opened up a lot of avenues with a lot of people. And I'm very excited. I announced the other night we're actually going global July 8th here. So we will be on 38 countries, and I'll be bringing some of my team members for their shows. And really excited. And they're going to make a life story about me as well, which is incredible. I'm like, I didn't think it was that interesting, but they're like, I can't believe your life. So all these things have opened avenues by getting booted off of YouTube, right? So you guys, you're going to hit the buy music right here to support Pastor McLeod. And you can see all of his work. I mean, I am super excited. This was what I listened to, and I was just amazed. I listened to a bunch of that. I also like your back-to-back shirt, right?
Right. That's one of the albums was called Back-to-Back. It's like, you know, we as believers have each other's back. So.
This is so beautiful. And you guys can keep hitting this button right here as well. So I like Jesus Wins a lot. I did listen to Jesus Wins. Speak to the Mountains. This sounds amazing. I would probably just get sucked into everything here. I love it. And your gallery, look at this. This was really cool for me because I didn't know Pastor Casper yet. And I was like, look at him. I want to go to his church. So where can we find your church online?
It's the upperroomfellowship.org.
Okay. We're going to need to put that into, is it on the website anywhere? No?
It's another website, theupperroomfellowship.org.
Let me see. The Upper Room.
It should come up, yeah. I'll put it in the chat for you.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, so what we can do with that is get this in the links, and let's get to church together, y'all. I'm excited. Let's see. Let me go grab this link.
Every week I get messages from people internationally, you know, saying our pastor won't talk about any of this stuff. And we're so grateful, you know, you're talking about it. Because, you know, what's going on is this is a worldwide, you know, a thing that's unfolding. And it's cleverly engineered. It's, you know, the classic coup d'etat. This is, you know, what is at the heart of transhumanism, which is, you know, I wrote about in my Unmasking the Future book back in 2016. And sadly, a lot of the things I predicted back a decade ago have come to pass now. So one of the things I think is important that we understand with all the witchcraft and manipulation with the nanotechnology that's happening is like you get half of your genes from your dad, you know, DNA, right? And the other half from your mom, and they're intertwined, form a twisted letter, of the, which is DNA. So basically you get 72,000 genes from your dad and 72,000 genes from your mom, which makes 144,000 genes. Well, that's significant to Christians because we know in Revelation, you know, it talks about the 144,000 are sealed, that they've got divine protection. They're going to be able to evangelize after the we're caught up together, the what we call the rapture happens, which is, I think, most likely going to happen in our lifetime. And we got, you know, all the stuff that's happening that the Lord warned about is happening now, right? So I think what's really important understanding, you know, you got chemtrails, no matter how much they deny it, contaminating the food and water, and you got sheddings in actuality. We know that these shots were, you know, designed. What happens if they trigger something? They're self-assembling nanotechnology. I mean, did they trigger something at some point where all of a sudden it forms in the hand or the forehead? So I'm asking the question, I mean, are we in the days of Noah? People asking me that almost every day.
You're speaking the truth.
So if there's 72,000 genes from your dad, 72,000 genes from your mom, and now we know from research and, you know, from the secular medical researchers as well, that are showing that there's an additional 72,000 genes, which has been added through the so-called gene therapy, which adds up to 216,000 genes. Well, if you go back to Revelation 13, verse 18, it says, you know, wisdom is needed. Let the one with understanding come and solve the meaning of the number of the beast, which is 666. Mm-hmm. So if you multiply 600 times 60 times 6, that equals, I'm sure it's just a coincidence, because it equals 216,000.
Wow.
So I'm going, well, wait a minute, maybe that's what's really going on here. You know, the changing of the times and the season, the changing of the DNA. And then if you recall, it was a 2022, the Queen's Jubilee, when she was still present in this world. Yeah. And she, you can still find videos of it. She presses down on the globe and they're like kind of, you know, she's representing the British monarchy, but it's basically like, you know, rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves, right? And
yeah,
she pushes down on the globe, and what does it do? It sends a triple helix, a symbol of a triple helix across the lawn, which hits a tree, you know, representing the tree of good and evil.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was just another coincidence, though.
That is a coincidence for sure, right? No, here's what I've noticed. Like, the world didn't really know the control of the monarchy, right, until the last few years. And normies across our nation have realized that they've been under the control of a monarchy in many, many ways. And I knew people that didn't know that the queen was on Australian money. Like, they had no idea, you know, she's not on our money here. And we would talk about it, and they're like, what do you mean? She's not just on the UK's money. We're like, no, you know, like little things like that changed people's perspective once they knew. It was like kind of a hidden thing that other countries, you know, had the queen on their money.
Well, let's consider this for a moment. So they send out this injection deception, unlicensed, uninsured, experimental injection, and it's free for the entire world. Now, if they could do that, tell me that they couldn't take care of the poor and house the homeless.
Right.
That's not a consideration, but you can take this experimental injection and change your chemistry and become transhumanized.
I'll tell you something really strange. I have a family member that was vaccinated to the fullest degree who didn't, you know, agree with many of us in my family, and now has leukemia. And then we do a DNA, a hereditary test that came back. This normal person, her whole life, has a DNA change. There's a new change in her DNA from the hereditary testing. Now she has Down syndrome. There's 2% Down syndrome. How can you have Down syndrome if you've never had Down syndrome turn up in your hereditary testing, right? So you can see manipulation. And that's just one example. I never thought we or my family would have any statistics of this horrible planet-demic, but we do. And I'm seeing it in multiple avenues with other people that have had hereditary testing because they were sick and people, you know, they're trying to find out what's wrong with them, and their mRNA factors, right, have been genetically manipulated. And you can see that in their blood work now versus 10 years ago or 5 years ago. It's incredible that we're seeing it now, because when it first came out, people thought we were absolutely crazy telling them, don't do this because it can change your DNA, you know, but it's occurring. And my family is a statistic of that now. So there's, you know, that.
Sadly, we all know people that have suffered from these injections.
Yes.
And I had to officiate way too many funerals the last couple of years. My friend, Dr. Sherry Tempany,
I love her.
Yeah, me too. She gave me a book called Sudden Death by the guy that used to manage BlackRock, Edward Down.
Oh.
And he basically said, I don't care about opinions. I'm a statistician. All I care about is, you know, facts and figures. And he said, I realized, you know, that in 2020, the funeral homes were going to, you know, make a fortune, and the insurance companies are going to lose a fortune. And then he had like little, you know, codes for everybody, like 1,000 athletes, healthy young people that just happened to die suddenly. It's like, really? What's with that?
Yeah, that just doesn't occur.
Right, an injection within 24 hours, you know, they would die.
I know. It's horrible. It is horrible. And it has happened all the way around us.
And yet today we still got people on the wrong side of the equation wanting to argue that these are, you know, vaccines are good. Well, the Ninth Court just came out a couple of weeks ago and said these don't even qualify as a vaccine and they're bioweapons. We've been saying this for, you know, for years now.
Yeah, and the shedding and all of it that people just don't understand. So how do you feel about, like, maybe one Sunday while you're in service, me doing a watch party here for my audience? Would that be okay?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm excited to do that. I'll definitely let you know when we're doing it, just off, you know, because that's courtesy. But I would love to take everybody to your church, all the audience, one Sunday and just have a blast. And I have some real rock star broadcasters here that are going to want to have you on their show. So we're going to stay in contact. I just adore you. But here's the other thing. I just want to close a little bit on and say that truly you are literally that spiritual walk that the world needs. And I feel that vibrational frequency from you. And I'm so appreciative and grateful to have you here, along with your healing that can occur in this music. You can feel it. I've been so excited ever since I heard the song, like, and I'm already an excitable person, but like, you got to reach a new level before I like jump gears like that. And as soon as it got like about a minute in, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I got to turn off my camera because I'm jamming out, right? Like, this is like, amen, you know? So I was really having a good time over here with that. And I just want everybody to experience that. And I can only imagine stepping into your church where there's real truth going on, along with your walk with God and Jesus and saving and healing every time you hit the platform. You're very favored by God. I feel that. So I'm grateful.
Thank the Lord. It's not with eloquent words, you know, it's like kind of a Mars Hill moment for us. It's like, hey, we know the real God and we need to share him. So
well, you are truly music for the soul. And we've heard that for years, right? And no, like, this is like, you are the music for the soul. And I'm just ecstatic to have you here. I can't wait to keep in contact. So today we have a mutual person we adore. We're going to go out on one of his movies, Mr. General Flynn, right?
Right.
We're going to go out on a little clip of that. But do you want to tell us anything else? I'm going to send everybody over to CasperMcLeodMusic.com. You're going to click the links down below. And you're also going to get an added version of where his church website is, the Upper Room Fellowship, right?
Right.
I'm going to add all of those things. We're going to take this on over to your news. We're going to get it featured globally today or tomorrow morning. And you guys are going to help me feel the real, true music for your soul, which is Mr. Pastor McLeod, right? So do you have anything you want to tell us before we kind of end with General Flynn's clip today?
Yeah, I don't want anybody to, if you were coerced or you took an injection, a couple of, don't take any more, obviously. But I think a lot of times the church doesn't understand sin. They think it's, you know, like big things like robbing a bank, you know, doing some horrible crime. Mm-hmm. But the Lord says, you know, fear is a sin. Romans 14:23 says that which is not faith is sin. Well, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we really need to come together and pray and just trust God. If you recognize these things, or you recognize you did something out of fear, come back to the Lord and apologize. And he can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He can do anything. And so, I'm sure there's people watching right now that are on the wrong side of the equation because they always want to check us out, know what we're doing. They want to track with us, right? So again, I would just pray that all the transhumanists that are watching, all the globalist liars and sorcerers, that all the blasphemers and fornicators and adulterers, they would come to Christ now before it's too late. And he would wash you clean from all unrighteousness, providing you're still human and you still can repent, you know? So I would just call for every guilty brother and sister, I beg you for Christ's sake, come now, because your immortal souls are at stake. And if you come make your peace with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Messiah Yeshua, he will give you peace, not like the world gives, mm-hmm. supernatural peace. And it's just so extraordinary that he did this for us. I mean, nobody has the kind of love he has for you. So I just pray you would connect with it and repent of your sins on both sides of your generation, all the way back to Adam, for any blood covenants that were made out of ignorance because of so-called vaccinations that happened. We come and pray together with two more gathered in his name. The Holy Spirit's here. So we ask to break the power of any foreign animal DNA, a human DNA that's been injected into anybody's body and distorted their DNA from the way God's created it to be and wants it to be. We ask that you would do create a miracle, Lord, and change them back the way you designed them to be, and that we could fully surrender to you and submit to you and live a life that's glorifying to you. Mm-hmm. And we just thank you, Lord, that for every demonic marker that's been inserted into anybody because of the air we breathe or the water we drink or because of the food sources that are happening now, that you would do creative miracles for us and remove those things that need to go. and replace them with what needs to be the Holy Spirit inside us, and that we can stand before you without spot or wrinkle and be blameless, not because of any goodness in us, but because of your sacrifice and atoning death on the cross. And we just thank you, Lord, that you said that if we confess you, Lord Jesus, and believe in our hearts that, you know, God Almighty raised you from the dead, we should be saved. So I just pray for those to be saved right now that would pray along. And we just thank you, Lord, for doing what only you can do. In Jesus, Yeshua's almighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That was beautiful. And all glory to God. And all glory to God for bringing you across my path. I truly, truly admire you and your work. So I just appreciate it. And we're going to keep in contact. I'd love to have you back on one of my nighttime shows sometime, right?
I'd love to. Maybe you can have me and General Flynn together. Actually,
that would be fabulous.
We're working on a new video together, which I'll have General Flynn with us. Off the new album, there's a song called Anomalies, which talks about how, you know, the English bankers have created test nations like New Zealand, and talks about the nanotechnology. And so he's involved with us on that one.
Oh, man, he's a powerful, powerful person of God. You feel it when you're around him. So that would be fabulous. And I'm sure he would love that. We're looking at an August schedule with him right now. So hopefully it'll all work out. And I will let you know for sure. And I know my guys, the other broadcasters, after seeing this, are definitely going to want to get in contact. So we're going to keep you definitely in contact with some people. And I'm thankful to Terry for bringing you my way. She is an amazing patriot.
She is.
Yeah.
I hope everybody would watch the Flynn movie, because there's things that people need to know. I mean, what a different world this would have been had he stepped into the vice presidency instead.
Yes. Absolutely, it would have been a different world. And we're going to put up his ticker right now as we go into our design studio over here. And check out our little clip. So Heidi helped piece this together. We added General Flynn's movie clips into it, and we like to still promote it. Now, I will say the event tours are kind of over, but we're working another angle with watch parties, and sometimes General Flynn can attend those. So as those are listed, they're on the website, you guys. And if you're still interested in going to a watch party event, they're available to do at certain places. So that's a really cool thing to view his movie with him. And he does not leave. He doesn't leave until he meets every single person that wants to meet him. And he is the last one out the door. And I witnessed this. I had been told this, but I was like, he's the most generous person I've ever met with his time. Really. He will take whatever time and spend it with you that you require. Right. I have no general etiquette like most people. They're like General Flynn, and they're like astute and grateful. And I'm like, General Flynn, oh my God, it's you. Like, you know, and he's like, oh Lord, here comes Tony again. But I can't help it. Something is just there for this, right? You know, and I just, he doesn't mind. So
there's an anointing on that man. He's an amazing man of integrity.
He is. He really is.
He's a true American hero.
Oh, God bless you. Well, God bless you anyway. We're going to go out on this right now, you guys. And let's all attend church together sometime soon. And you guys know how to find it. It'll be all over the channel that we're going to church. And I'll let you know what Sunday we'll start that. So here we go.
Buildings, and we'll still find a home. We will all stick together, and we'll never surrender. We won't give up our freedom. There were bright lights before it all went to dark. And their white lies, they divided our hearts. In the blink of an eye, we were all left with scars. Listen to man-made decisions, should've trusted God. You can take all our money, but you can't have our soul. You could burn down our buildings, and we'll still find a home.
We will all stick together, and we'll never surrender. We won't give up our freedom.
From the shores of California, all the way Only He will bring us closer when we fall to our knees.
We've had great leaders. They understood that there was something not right. And Eisenhower was really the first to warn the nation that, hey, there's this thing called the military-industrial complex, and we've got to be careful of it. Fast forward to John F. Kennedy. He actually called out the CIA, made the comment, I'm going to break it into a million pieces. And you have to ask yourself, what did he know? So for 40 years, we have this Cold War, giant, giant programs that are being built. But that Cold War, it gave rise to the things that President Eisenhower and President Kennedy warned us about. The military-industrial complex, the intelligence services at the time, we now know in Kennedy's assassination, we're part of his demise. It's like, how did we ever get here?
To the FlynnMovie.com. That's where we're going to go. Head on over to the FlynnMovie.com. When you're done with that, we're going to go on over to Pastor McLaw's website listed down below in the description box and check him out as soon as you can. I totally think that this is going to be something that makes your walk with God closer and you're going to have more understanding. And as you can see, Pastor McLaw is a brilliant man with tons of information that we are all seeking. So God bless you, Pastor, for being here. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invite.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you all right now, I never, ever in my life have been more happy to have a guest here who has such a walk with God. So God bless you all for being here. I'm just Jody from Patriots Help and Patriots Network, and we are going to see you all soon.